Glad to be here again tonight, Brother Joe. Well, I can throat's kind of closed up on me a little bit.
We'll get to some water.
We're glad to have the chance to speak for Jesus. The brother said it's not so much the crowd. Remember one time the Lord took Philip away from a citywide revival. He was having great miracles and great crowds. The Lord told him to go down and preach to just one eunuch. Took him away. You might say, well, why in the world would the Lord do that? Well, one thing is, what kind of eunuch was he? That's the thing. See, he wasn't just any eunuch, but he was the eunuch that escorted the queen. All God had to do was get it in the royal family and convert the whole land. So you don't ever know what God's doing. I may preach here, and there may be one man that's listening that may convert the whole land. Remember, one time a man was preaching, and he didn't realize it, but a man by the name of Old Roberts was listening to him, came to God, and today he's responsible for converting, well, there's no telling how many multiplied thousands of people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you say, well, Brother Pike, does he preach the message? He preached what he knew to preach, and I feel we've gone a little deeper, and I trust that he'll come on. If he doesn't, then the Lord will have to deal with him, but nevertheless, you don't ever know who you're preaching to. I was really anxious to get the tapes as much so as I could because Brother Edwards and him singing here tonight, they might be singing in California in a night or two because some of our tapes go way up in Wisconsin, way out to the West Coast and around the country. And I'd like to have got it right, you know, but Satan, he don't like for you to do that. He's always working to keep you from doing that. And sometimes you try to do something for God and Satan just wants to cause trouble. But anyway, we're thankful tonight to be here. And I might not preach as hard at you tonight as I've been preaching because I've got a little throat trouble, but I want to talk to you some anyway. If you've got your Bibles, turn to the second book of Peter. I'd like for you to read with me. Everybody that's got your Bibles, turn over there with me, will you? You know, it's a good thing to take your Bible to the church. I know a lot of times I come in the church and I might not open my Bible and read when the preacher tells me to open the Bible or tells the congregation to, but I've read it so much that I've got it in my heart. The Bible said he'll write his laws upon the table of your heart and he will cause you to walk in his way. And so it is that I've got it on the table of my heart, and I'm listening when that preacher's reading. And if he doesn't come right down the line, I won't go back and mess with him, or either I'll hem him up somewhere and we'll have a talk. So,
amen.
I'm listening when I, and if you know it in your heart, then it's all right. But if you don't know it, then it's good to follow the scriptures and try to do what you can to understand. Now then, I'll try not to hold you long tonight unless God really gets in it. I'd love to exhort you some, talk to you about the glory of God, and love for you to listen real close if you can. From the second book of Peter, it's over in the first chapter. I think we ought to back up here. Might be good if we read a good bit of it here in this first chapter. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this giving all diligence and to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that liketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shewed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Now, you know, a lot of times the preacher comes and preaches to you, and maybe you might say, well, I already know those things. I don't need anybody to tell me those things. But Peter, he said, I know that you know these things. He said, many of you understand these things. He said, but just as long as I'm in your presence, and just as long as I'm in this bodily tabernacle, he said, I feel that I ought to stir up your pure minds concerning these things. And so it is that whether you know them or whether you don't know them, the thing that God is interested in is stirring up your pure minds in Christ, yeah, and bringing these things, as Peter said, to your remembrance. Now then, I want you to especially notice here, Peter, in his teachings, he said, I want you to be established in the present truth. Not in the truth of yesterday, not in the truth of a year ago, not in the truth of Elijah's time, not in the truth of Moses' time. He said, but rather, I would have you to be established in the present truth.
Amen.
Right here in the day that we're living in. There is a present truth. There was a truth for Moses. There was a truth for Elijah. And there was a truth for every age that has gone by. But God has a present truth.
Amen.
He has a truth that we can be established in, Brother Joe, in the present age in which we're living in. God would be willing for us to be established in the present day truth. Peter said in that day, he said, I want you established in the present truth. And so it was. Now you might say, well, why did Peter say that, Brother Pine? Because he was having trouble with the Pharisees and the scribes of that day. They were established in the truth of Moses, but when the present truth came forth, he could not get them to conform to the present truth. And because he could not get them to move up in God, then they were known as people that fed off of that which was dead. Did you know that a truth yesterday cannot be a truth of today as a present truth? Did you know that unless God anoints the truth, then Satan can take that truth and pervert it and use it for his own cause?
Right.
Did you know that it was the truth when Satan stood and quoted the scriptures to Jesus and told him that the angels have charge concerning thee? And they will bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest thou should dash thy foot against the stone. Did you know that that was words of truth? But Jesus knew that he was taking the truth out of its original setting, and that he wasn't presenting the truth with the anointing of the hour, but it was the anointing of the devil that was trying to bring forth the truth. Now that you might not understand, that's just what I mean by that, but the Bible teaches that we must have the present truth of God's Word.
Amen.
Now then, if today I come here and I preach, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and then you repent and you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and then tomorrow somebody comes and they preach, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now then, if you just keep on laying the foundation of repentance over and over and over, then that will breed worms. That will breed worms, just like God told Moses when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And he told them there in the wilderness, you must get new manna every day.
Amen.
He said, for if you fail to get new manna, he said it will bring worms. Now you might say, Brother Pike, are you telling me that a message of God will bring worms? Yes, the word of God can come forth anointed of the Spirit and be a present truth and can be a liberating power and then after you walk in that truth and be trying to go back to that thing, then Satan will come and take hold of it and it will breathe worms.
That's right.
You'll find that you're not in the anointing of God. You'll find that you're not in the present truth of God, but you'll find that you're going along in something that God was giving a generation of yesterday, and the people are no longer preaching it by the inspiration of God, but by their own spirit.
Amen.
By their own spirit. When those people in the wilderness failed to get new manna every day, then the manna would breathe worms. They tried to lay up yesterday's blessings and make it do for today, but God said it is not in spark.
Amen.
That is the word of God has to be in spark.
Amen.
You've got to have a new inspiration and to expect to stay with God.
Amen.
You can't take yesterday's matter and live off of it today.
Praise the Lord.
You can't do it. I love to preach baptism in Jesus' name. I believe it's the right way. I teach it. I love the things that Moses taught. All of those wonderful things. But Peter said, I would have you to be established in the present truth.
Amen.
In the present truth. What is the present truth? Well, the way I feel is the present truth of this age is the message of perfection.
Amen.
Let us go on, Paul said. Let us not turn again. Let's delay the foundation of repentance. Of dead works and of dead faith to God. For dead works has worms in it.
Amen.
Dead faith has worms in it.
Amen.
But he said, let us go all with God.
Amen.
Not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance. But let us go all to perfection, Paul said. I believe in being perfect. Last night we preached the message of perfection. I believe that we ought to be in perfection. As I said, if I take yesterday's blessing, if I don't accept the present day truth, and I take yesterday's blessing, then today, if I try to live on something today that God gave to the generation of yesteryear, then I don't need that. That's not inspirational anymore.
Right.
You might say, Brother Pike, you're beside yourself. No, I'm not. If I walk in the light that God gave me yesterday, then that's sufficient. But today I'm looking for a present truth.
Amen.
I'm looking for the life for today. I'm looking for the inspiration of today. And so it is, if I try to live in the blessings of yesterday, then I get dead faith. I get a message that's not inspired. I get a truth that's not a present truth. For instance, if I tell Brother Joe, if I had come to him 3 years ago, and I said, Joe, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, that would have been good, because he had a need for that. And never having heard that message, never having walked in that light, Joe would have been inspired and the Holy Spirit would have anointed, and those words would have been spirit, and they would have been life. They would have been inspirational. They would have lifted him up and encouraged him and brought him to the life of Jesus Christ. But if I come 3 years later, and I say, Joe, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name, what do I want to tell him that for? He's already done that. It's not inspirational to him anymore. He doesn't need that anymore. He's already entered into that truth. He's already been inspired in that.
Amen.
That was yesterday's truth. But Peter said, have you established in the present truth, in today's truth, in the message of the hour. And so it is, if I try to preach that to my brother, then it is not the anointing of God, it is Brother Pike trying to carry it. Now somebody said, Brother Pike, do you really believe that? If I try to preach him a message that God gave to the generations of yesterday, then it is not anointed of God, because God has already finished with that message.
Amen.
He's already done the work of that message. And he doesn't want us to just stay around and lay the foundation of repentance over and over. But he said, let us go on. Let us go on and find another truth. And let us find the present truth. And let us become established in the present truth of today. And so it is, if I say, well, I'm just going to preach it anyway, then God will not anoint it. He will not anoint it. He will not bless it. He will not be refreshing. just be. All it will just be the natural word with some man's voice telling it to you. That's all it will be. God's already moved off and left it because that message is finished. That message is worked already in the church. It's already done its job. But we've got to leave it alone then and go on with the other thing. If I go back and pick it up, then it's bread words. Then my own spirit gets into it. Satan's spirit gets into it. Because instead of an inspirational thing, it becomes an intellectual thing. It becomes something that we just fuss over and split hairs over. I tell you what I do. I challenge any of you to take somebody that's trying to preach a message of yesteryear and see if it don't wind up in a dispute. See if it don't wind up in splitting theological hairs. See if it don't wind up in something that's pro and con and never doing anybody any good. Never bringing anybody to perfection. I see people everywhere I go, and they're just sitting around, just fussing and fighting over whether this is inspired, or that is inspired, or whether it should be this way, or whether it should be that way. But brother, when God has an anointed word, and an anointed truth, you don't have to fuss over it.
Amen.
People know that it's new.
Amen.
They know that it's different. They know that they've never heard that word before, and it's inspired and encouraging of
people. Amen.
You don't have to tell them. They know that it is. So then Peter here spoke of the present day truth. I believe with all of my heart that people that were back yonder in the days of John Wesley and on back yonder in the days of Martin Luther, I believe that they had the truth of God's word. I believe they had as much as God gave it to them in that day. But there came a time when John Wesley's message would not do the job anymore. When John Wesley came forth, he began to preach a message of sanctification, and the world began to move because it was a present day truth. But today they still go around saying, be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Brother, the church of the living God, not saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost by the foreknowledge of God before the world. Amen. The Bible said their name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Peter said they're all elect according to foreknowledge.
Amen.
Before they ever breathed their first breath, Jeremiah said, before I was ever born in my mother's womb.
Amen.
He said, God knew me, ordained and called to be a prophet.
Amen.
Why should we stand around and fuss over that?
Amen.
John Wesley had a message, and the message was sanctification, and it was inspirational in that day, and the people said, this is the new thing. God said, I will do a new thing. And they said, this is a new thing. Said he's got a new method. Said this man's got a new method. So by that everybody began to say, these are the people with a new method. We'll just call these Methodists. And so they took their new method, and John Wesley practically turned the world upside down with his method. With his new message, there came a time when people of that age had received sanctification and handed it down to their children, and a holiness person before of their heart ever able to talk, they're already acquainted with sanctification. They're already acquainted with repentance. Why, I baptized my little children before the heart of me out of the mother's arms. I baptized them in Jesus Christ's name. I tell them the word of God. I teach them sanctification. I teach them they ought to live holy. But there's more to it than that. If we ever intend to go with God and ever intend to make the fire of Jesus Christ, we've got to do more than just repent. We've got to do more than just repent. There's people in the world today, that's all they ever do is repent. That's all they ever do. They never live right. They never go on to perfection. They never go on to try to perfect their ways before God. They're always repenting. They go out here and they do the ungodly things of the world. They do the things that pertain to the flesh. And then they go back to the house of God and they repent. They get up the next day and they go out and they have a dispute with their wife or a dispute with their husband or a dispute with their neighbor. And they go back and repent. They get up the next day and they go out there and they have trouble here and trouble there and lust here and lust there. And then they go back and repent. But Paul said there's got to come a day when we've got to get away from just continually repenting, and we've got to finish building the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We just can't keep on going on and going on. You say, but the Bible, I teach you that God gives us grace.
I spoke last night concerning dispensational grace. God has given us grace, but grace is for a dispensation. And when that dispensation is over, grace will not tolerate the thing that it would during the time of that dispensation. It won't tolerate it. There's going to be a time when God's going to lift His grace and lift His mercy, and every man is going to be chargeable for the way that he lives.
Right.
Now then, you say, Brother Pike, that's just a little complicated. All right, if I was a businessman and I had a big corporation and I hired five of you out there, and I put you on a job and I trained you, I give you a week to learn, and I give you 2 weeks to learn, and then I gave you 3 months to learn, and then I gave you a year to learn. I might show grace and I might keep paying you my money when you really wasn't even making production. But after a while, I'm going around and going to examine. If I see some of you's made progress and some of you's tried to do right, some of you's tried to get a little better on the job, then I might tolerate just a little more time and effort on your part. But if I find out that after a year's time, all you've done is just played around and spend my money, and you haven't advanced in my knowledge, you haven't took a hold of my business, if you haven't been concerned about my work or the profit that I'm seeking, brother, I'd mark you off the list right then.
Amen.
That would be good business. My grace to you would be over. God has given us grace. He's put us out here, and some of us have been in the gospel 10 and 15 years. Some of us have been in the gospel 7 years. Some of us 20 and 30 years. Some of us are still just flopping around like an old jellyfish. Just any old way to do it. A dip in the corner of the mouth, a cigarette hanging out, a tight skirt and high heels clipping around in us. All of these things are contrary to the perfection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Consequently, the devils of lust tagging around at us like a little dog. What is it? It's the lack of perfection.
Amen.
It's the lack of going on with God. I made the statement here recently. I can go to some homes, I'll go around some people, and I made the statement not too long ago. If the husband knew what the wife was doing, they'd just about murder. Or they'd drive them out and never have any fellowship with them. I've been preaching in the pulpit when the congregation would be full of devils, and some of the leading people of the congregation would be the ones that was tolerating it. That's right. I see women come up and sing, and men pray and sing. Ought to be somewhere on the knees, ought not even be allowed behind the sacred desk, because you're rotten as you can be. Amen. You ain't got no business up there. In fact, God let Satan kill Eli one time. Let him kill it, and let him kill his sons, because he done wrong in the house of God. Brother Joe, because he tolerated wrong in the house of God, because he wouldn't make his children do right. I believe a minister is chargeable, and the people that church put under his jurisdiction, and they are his spiritual children, and he must make them do right. If God will cut the preacher off and them off too.
Amen.
If he tolerates sin, both of them will come up on the road. Now then, in a present day truth, a truth of perfection, let us go on to perfection. One time I remember they had Jesus over there in a prison, and Pilate, he got afraid. He said, I don't understand this fellow. He said, he don't mumble and he don't grumble and he don't complain. He just any old way suits him as far as you're beating on him, plucking his beard, doing any old way. It just don't matter to him. His mind's still on God. That's a real Christian, did you know that? And he got afraid. He said, I just don't understand this man. So one day he went over to the prison, and he began to talk with him, and he began to ask him, he said, tell me something. He said, people say that you're the Son of God. He said, are you really the Son of God? Jesus told him, he said, I tell you. He said, did another man tell you this, or did you say it of yourself? Is it the confession from your heart that you believe I'm the Son of God? Or did somebody else tell you this? He said, I just want to know, are you the Son of God? Jesus said, I came to bear witness of the truth. He said, well, you tell me something. He said, what is truth? What is truth? Did you know that's a good question? The Bible said God desires truth in the inward parts.
Amen.
God wants us to walk in truth. Peter said, be established in the truth. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I know that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I know that I've got the Spirit of truth. I know that I can make it because I've got the baptism of the Spirit. But Zechariah, he began to speak to him about the truth, and he said, I have come to bear witness of the truth.
Amen.
And he said, the world hates me because I tell the truth.
Amen.
And brother, if you tell the truth, they're going to hate you. He said, if they call me a devil, they're going to call you a devil. He said, I've never sent a prophet to you. I've never sent a wise man to you. I've never sent one person to you that was right for what you didn't stone me for. He said, never has been a case of a lover that didn't do it that way when they come to bear witness. But you get somebody with a rock and roll party, get somebody that'll play around with the women and let the women be just as filled as they can be in their minds and their dressing and let them play around like a bunch of devils and let the men do the same thing and stand around and rub Susie on the head like I had a case over here in Memphis, Tennessee. Every time I go to preach, half of the men were standing out in the yard and they were talking with their cousins and their kinfolk and all kind of filth, and I told them, I said, why don't you fellas get away from that filth and get in the house of God and keep your hands all the way. I said, the Bible said it's good for a man not to touch woman. I said, you out there playing cousin and sister and brother, uncle and all them kind of filthy things. I said, your hearts are rotten as they can be. I said, the Holy Spirit shows it is. Now, if the Bible said that you get a preacher like that, it said, my people love to have it so. They love to have it so. Tolerate evil, tolerate sin. They love to have it so. What is truth, Pilate said? What is truth? The truth is that God is going to burn that preacher and his congregation in hell. That's the truth. What is truth? Truth is, if you continue to dress immodest and dress contrary to the word of God, God's going to burn you in hell. What is truth, Pilate said? Tell me what is truth. Truth is, if a preacher doesn't preach right, God will cut him off and burn his feet.
Amen.
He'll close up the doors of the church if they don't preach the truth. If they don't be right. What is truth? Somebody said, I know that I've got the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost anyway? The Bible said he is the Spirit of truth, and when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin.
Amen.
What is the Holy Ghost? Somebody said, well, I know about the Holy Ghost. Tell me one thing, friend. The Bible said, my Spirit bears witness with your spirit. My Spirit of truth, Jesus said, bears witness with your spirit that ye are the sons of God. Somebody said, well, I fell. He didn't mean that. Somebody said, I fell in the Spirit. That wasn't the witness he was talking about. He said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You can feel him on your flesh, but that wasn't the witness he was speaking of. He said, your spirit bears witness with my spirit. Your nature bears witness with my nature. What is the witness? When I say something, your spirit says amen. When I say this, your spirit says amen. When I witness to a truth, your spirit witnesses amen.
Amen.
When I witness to a deed that's right, your spirit witnesses amen. If the word of God says to do this, your spirit says it's done. If the Holy Spirit says don't do this, your spirit says amen. It won't be in my life. What is it? Somebody said just to testify the truth? No. It's more than just speaking the truth with your lips. It's living the truth every day of your life. It's walking in the truth of God. It's testifying of the truth of God. It's acting on the truth of God. When you get the Holy Spirit and you get the nature of Christ within us, it will walk in you and it'll talk in you, and it'll witness with your spirit, and your spirit will witness with it.
Amen.
Everything that's truth, the Bible said, he will guide you into it. He will guide you into all righteousness. He will guide you into all truth. Do you actually expect the true ministers of God to believe that you're filled with the Spirit of truth when the Bible said that he'll reprove the world of sin, and he'll reprove you of sin, and he'll lead you in the truth of God into all righteousness? Do you expect the minister to believe that when you're doing everything but righteousness, everything but truth? The Bible said he would lead you into all truth. Somebody said, well, I believe in truth, Brother Pilate. Pilate had a better confession. Pilate had a better confession. He said, you just tell me what truth is. He said, I'll just be honest with you about our ignorance. I don't even know what truth is. What is truth? What is truth? Jesus said, my words, they are truth. My words, they are truth.
Amen.
And the word said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all of that truth.
Amen.
All of that truth. What is truth? It's true that the Bible said for the women to dress as becometh holiness. That's true. That's the word of God. It's true that he said let them dress and adorn themselves as the women of old. That's true. Somebody said, I don't want that. That's because you don't have the nature. sent you the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will make you love the truth.
Amen.
And the Bible said that you have no love for the truth. He'll turn you over to ideology and every evangelist that passed through, and the carnal mind and everything that's unlike God. He'll turn you over to that reformation mind and let you believe a lie and be damned.
Right.
Now, what are you talking about, Brother Bob? I'm speaking of being established in the present truth of God. That's what I'm speaking of. Being established in the present truth of God. Now then, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind, let you believe a lie, and let you be damned because you did not love the truth when you heard it.
Amen.
If a man tells you the truth, you'd better latch on to it with all of your heart. If you don't do it, the first news you know, you'll be coming to church with a dip in your lip. You'll be smoking a cigarette before you come in. You'll be shouting your shoe heels off. You'll be shouting your hair down and still be rotten and full of worms on the inside because you'll do it just right. And nobody will be able to tell you any difference. Nobody will be able to tell you any difference. You'll be twofold more the child of hell than you was to start with. Jesus said one time, he said, the people of our generation, he said, they'd compass land and sea just to make one church member. They'd go 10,000 miles to make one church member. And he said, they'll make them a proselyte and make them twofold more the child of hell than there was to start with. Now then, as long as a person is a sinner, you can get to the person, you can help them. As long as a person believes that they need God, you can help them. But when some evangelist comes by, or some pastor comes by, and he indoctrinates them and tells them they can do it your own way, brother, he's done made a bunch of proselytes. It's like a nest full of rotten eggs, and you can't get a one of
that. That's right.
It's just no good all the way around. The best thing you can do with a... I made a statement one time. I said, there's a lot of churches of the day that need to be closed up, and God's closing up a lot of them. They need to be closed up because some evangelists come through and pulled them off from some a real man of God over there that was trying to tell them the truth. They got rebellious and wouldn't go with him and found fault with him and done all kind of things that was contrary to him. And some evangelists full of the devil came through and led a bunch of them off from this and then a bunch from that and got them all together trying to establish a church. But to show you it's not really a church, you ain't even got a decent piano player. Ain't even got a decent singer. Ain't even got a decent preacher. In some of the places of the day, you can't even get it. Let you tell me that God wants a church when you ain't even got at least a piano player. You tell me that God wants you to compromise and get somebody that's full of the devil to get up and sing. No, the church ain't got no business being there and starting. They need to go back over yonder where they came from and let God teach them the word of the Lord. Let them repent and get straightened out and do the thing that they need to do. What is it? Peter spoke about a present day truth. This is the truth. This is the present day truth. This is the truth. He said, I'd have established in the present day truth. We've got men and women alike today that are filthy. We've got men that are lewd, women that are lewd. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, I know about them. They're out in the world. I'm not talking about out in the world. I'm talking about in the church.
Amen.
I'm talking about in the church. The devils come and sit on the benches. The devils come and sit in the chairs. The devils come and sing behind the pulpit, preach behind the pulpit, play the piano, and do everything that the preacher does that's living right and everything that the Christian does that's living right. They're in the churches of today. And the preacher won't say anything to them because he's afraid he won't have a piano player. He's afraid he won't have a singer. He's afraid he won't have no tithe on the weekend. He'll have to go to work somewhere. Brother, I say close the doors on the thing, get rid of it.
Amen.
You ain't got somebody that's clean and holy and straight, then lock the doors and close it up and get away from it.
Amen.
It's an abomination in the sight of Almighty God.
All right.
That's the truth. Amen. What is the truth? Pilate said, you tell me what is the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. Some of you haven't ever lived for God, and some of you are never going to live for God. Some of you have heard the gospel until you seared your conscience with a hot iron and you couldn't reach it for nothing in the world. There's no way to reach it. Some of you are tattlers. Some of you are tailbearers. Some of you cause strife, going from one preacher to another. Going from one brother to another. Going from one place to another.
Amen.
Causing trouble. Causing heartache. But one day God's going to burn your fields.
Amen.
One day He's going to set your fields on fire. for doing those things. What's caused it, Brother Pike? Because you tried to live off of somebody else's message. You tried to live off the message of yesterday, and somebody that come by yesterday and refused to go on in the message of today. A lot of times, I remember preaching one time, a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, if you, all you can do is preach on the clothesline. Or Brother Joe, all you can do is preach on the clothesline. Or say something to a brother, and all you can do is preach on the clothesline. I spoke to somebody one time and I said, if somebody don't preach on the clothesline, there won't be no clothesline to preach on.
Amen.
I'll tell you right here, if somebody don't start preaching dressed and holy, then they won't be any clothes at all. The Bible said they'll get plumb naked. Just like he found Adam and Eve in the garden, just about that way now. He's over here in the trailer court in Macon, Georgia. A couple of young ladies about 14, 15, or 16 years old come over to my trailer, dressed in shorts just as tight as they can be, great big old girl. I said, young ladies, I said, I tell you what, I said, you're welcome at Brother Pike's trailer, but you'll have to go home and put on some clothes.
Amen.
I said, I just don't tolerate nothing like that around here. And the little ladies were so startled, they said, well, said, we don't mind wearing a dress, but Mama says it's too much trouble to wash up. She didn't want no clothes on the line, did she? She could wash out a few pair of shorts and that would be it, you know, just throw in the machine, that was it. Too much trouble. And she said we'd better not be caught wearing dresses. It made it too hard on her.
Oh.
Yeah, what was it? She was over there working on a job somewhere trying to make a little money. And some of you mothers that get all the jobs, get back in your home where you belong and do the thing that God told you to do and be a mother and be a wife. Then God could bless you, you could raise a family.
Amen.
But as long as you're out there trying to get a dollar, a new car, a new living room suit, or something like that, you're always going to be in that kind of condition. What is it? It's the truth. Jesus said that this generation would be the lowest down generation on the face of the earth. He told them it would be. It would be the one that he would burn with fire, a sinful and an adulterous generation. That they would be so adulterous that when they walk up and down the street, they would lust after each other. Adultery on every corner. Just an adulterous generation. A lustful generation that was always wanting something new, always wanting something better, never contented with the preacher, never contented with the church, never contented with the message, never contented with God, never contented with anything. He said they'd be that kind. High-minded. What is high-minded? Got one car and gotta have two cars. He said they'd be high-minded. What is high-minded? Got one living room suit, gotta trade in on another. Over here in a certain place where we was at, a man was working on a government job. He had a brick home, had a nice automobile, and had nice furniture. And God was taking care of him, and he and his wife was living a Christian life. But it wasn't long before they decided they wanted a new living room suit, and they got to figuring out that his salary wouldn't provide it. So they decided that their little wife could go to work. Wasn't long before the little wife went to work, and she backslid, and he backslid, and backslid, got away from God, and got into the hot pins of the world. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, that's mighty strong, talking about hot pins. How many of you know that Jesus called the people of this world swine? Swines, he said the prodigal son would have filled his belly with a swine, or the with a husk of the swine that he, if God hadn't called out to him, he would have done it. And Jesus said not to cast your pearls before swine. And he said this world was dogs. He said the dog will go back to licking their vomit. It doesn't matter how much you get them away from it. He said they'll go back and lamp it. Go back and do it. He said you can take an old swine or an old hog, an old sow. He said you can wash it up and pretty it up. He said, but when you turn it loose, it'll go right back and wallow in the mud again. Now I've made this statement. I want to make it again tonight, trying to find a place to close you. Did you know that it's a truth? It's a truth. That we're living in a day when people will take everything that God has got to give them, that they will take healing, they will take the blessings of God, they will take the riches of God, they will take the grace of God, take everything that he's got to give them, and then they'll go back and water in the hog pens of the world. Did you know that? They'll take everything he's got to give them and still go back and water in the hog pens of the world. Now, how long will God tolerate that? How long will he do it? Friend, it's over. He's through with it. He's through with it. That's the present day truth that people have established in. The judgment is at hand and it's over. God is tired. He's tired of a sin-cursed generation that's always seeking something better, always wanting something better, that's never satisfied, just running to and fro.
You can't even get the people to go to church and stay in one church. They'll be over here to hear the preacher one night, over again to hear the preacher the next night, over again to hear the next night, and then when it finally comes down to the real thing, you know what it's for? It's because they don't want to care of the Lord. They don't want to pay any tithe, they don't want to give any offerings, they don't want to give any support of the fasting prayer, they don't want to do anything for God. Like we had a case down here one place, a man come up to me and I just told him. He just gone from one place to another, carrying tales there. And just between me and you, there's some tale bearers of this very building right here. Because the preacher come to me last night and somebody was talking to him. So there's somebody carrying tales going to and fro and causing strife. The Bible said, move the tale bearer and the strife will cease. If the tale bearer doesn't get out of the way, God will set his field on fire.
Amen.
Causing trouble, causing strife, causing division among the brethren. So this fellow had come to me, he was a reputable man in that area, noted in the assembly, and I kept putting up with it, kept preaching, kept telling him not to, and they just went on anyway, and finally I just went to him and I said, brother, I said, you're nothing but a talebearer. I said, you just go over here and get something, bring over here and go over here and get something, and bring over here and just cause brethren to be tore up all the time. And the fellow come up one time before us there, I kept trying to establish the truth of God and kept trying to establish trustees of the things was needed, and finally I just couldn't seem to get him to do right. So he kept saying, well, it's the system, it's the system. I wish we had a system. I said, we've got a system.
Amen.
He said, I want a system. Let's pay tithes. Let us give offers. I said, no. I said, to tell you the truth about it. I said, what it is you about a devil going around many that keeps putting excuses in your mind so that you can get out of support the church? And you that's what excuse. I said, I perceive the only system that you're interested in is that I'll elect you as an officer and put you in the church and you're not qualified to be elected. Well, he decided he'd leave. He decided he'd leave, but that's the best thing that ever happened to you, when some of them leave. He said, well, what if they all leave? Lock the door up and say, God, your word will return to you, Lord, my works finished. Amen. God has a program and God has a way and God has a present day truth.
Amen.
And God wants you to be establishing it. Somebody said, well, I thought salvation was supposed to make me sure. I thought salvation was supposed to make me happy. The Bible said 10 times it is grievous for the Lord.
Amen.
It's not supposed to make you shout all the time.
Amen.
It's supposed to grieve and test you to your heart.
Yes,
so that you'll straighten
Lord.
Up your
way.
The Bible said it's grievous for the moment, but afterwards it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness.
Amen.
Praise God, there's Amen. More to it than a rock and roll party.
Amen.
I don't believe in a funeral parlor. I don't think we ought to drag it out to where we have a funeral. And I don't think we ought to rock and roll it out until we have a dance in the church. I think we ought to have a moderation going with God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Peter said to be established in the present day truth. That's the present day truth, folks. I'm telling you the truth. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that the gospel isn't supposed to lift me up? How many of you know the Bible said that they won't endure sound doctrine? Brother, you don't shout through sound doctrine. You endure sound doctrine. Because it's hard in the flesh. It breaks down. It kills the outer man. You have to endure sound doctrine. Now you get something up here that works the flesh up and gets the flesh all up in the air and all that kind of thing. Well, you can just dance right on through it. But that's not true.
Amen.
Said they won't endure sound doctrine. All right, Peter said, we need to be established in the present nature. These are the truths. Will you stand with me? I'd love for sin to come over to the piano if you will. I believe that we're living in what the Bible calls peerless time. I believe this is the hour when men are perverting the gospel and doing everything that's wrong. Folks, I've met all kinds of ministers. When I say all kind, I mean all kinds. Some of the devil. But did you know the devil has ministers that can transform themselves into ministers of light? How many of you know that? You say, how can they do it, Brother Parker? The Bible said to be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
They can get out each other and work with the world and do the evil things of the world and come up here and with a little transforming of their mind, they can minister the word of life. They transform themselves. They have the power to do it. And did you know the Bible also said the devil humbled himself? Like a man come to me one time, he stood there in tears rolling down his cheek.
And I have done something, Brother Edwards, in the church. I've got a few curtains and trying to fix the church up to where it looked nice, you know. But at the same time, I hadn't forgotten the mission program down in Mexico. And we sent our money down there, and in the long run, sent a few $100 down there. And had been able to take them a generator, a few things to help them. But this man, he come over there and he looked at the curtain, you know, that I put in the house of God. And he just stood there and the tears rolled down his cheeks. And he said, Brother Pine, did you know somebody said you ought to give this to the poor and set this down in on the mission field? I said, Brother, did you know that the devil almost didn't send to have his way? I said, did you know he'll stand and cry just to get his way?
Amen.
I said, did you know he won't stop at nothing just to have his way? I said, for your information, God worked a miracle and gave us the curtain. I said, and at the same time, the people that grumbled was supposed to send something to Mexico and did not send it.
Amen.
I said, they had a supper. They all got together and forgot about the offering for Mexico. I said, but we did not forget. And I said, we sinned. I said, and we stood by God. And I said, the Bible said every man runs to his own house and lets the house of God lay waste. That brother had a new automobile, just bought a new truck to go along with it. He'd just opened up an office over there and put beautiful curtains in his office. Had signs painted all across his window. But it just broke the devil's heart because I was doing something for the house of God. Every man run to his own house and let the house of God lay waste. God said, well, not my business for these things. I said, did you know that the man that told you these things, I personally know that he had five trucks and a new automobile, made him over $100,000 in 1 year. Somebody said, well, now he needed that for his business. Well, I tell you this, this is my Father's business, and we need to be saved by my Father's business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. In the first place, I feel this way. Why did he need him for his business anyway? All he's going to do is make a lot of money to build a new house and buy another truck and buy another car and get married and get richer. Why did he need it for his business? If the business was dedicated to God and was given to God, then I could understand. But I just don't see any other way. I believe that's the best thing. I believe we ought to be established. Let's bow our heads with him. You say, Brother Pike, you're scolding me. No, children of God, I'm not scolding you. I'm not trying to scare the little lamb. I'm not trying to hurt the little sheep of God. But the Bible said in the last days God would send forth his angels.
Amen.
They would sever the just from the unjust. They would take away the tyrant. Every plant that Heavenly Father not planted would be plucked up.
Glory!
You say, but Brother Pike, the Bible said, leave them alone and let them grow together. He said, in the field, which is the world. But he said in the church, praise the healthy old man.
Amen.
He said, if you don't do it, he said, one little cancer in one member of the body will cause the life to leave the whole body. He said, it's better to cut off one arm, better to pluck out one eye. It's better to take away a member of the body than to let the whole body die. And I tell you, we need some real skilled physicians up here with a sword of the Spirit, with a blade of God to cut in, cut some cancers out, amputate a few members, take off a few arms and patch up a few wounds here and there, and get some of the corruption out of the church, or else the whole spirit's going to leave. God just withdraw from the whole body. The life will leave the whole body just because of one little cancer or one bad memory. I said to somebody the other day who was talking, I said, you know, I said, did you know that one rotten potato in a bag thinks there all the rest of them stinks? I said, did you know that if a rotten potato would, if it could talk, you know what it would say? It would say to all the rest, you stink. That's right, that's the way gossip is our tailbearers. That's the way tailbearers are. Everybody's out of sorts with him. But the truth is, the reason they stink is because he's rotten, he's caused them to stink. But if you get rid of it, you'll be all right. Amen. Let's bow our heads.